In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ tells of a man who prepared a great banquet. He gives no reason why the banquet was prepared, only that it was. He tells of a man who makes a gracious offer. Again, he gives no reason why the guests were invited, only that they were. He wants to share in his bounty. He wants to give to those who need. Nothing for them to bring, nothing for them to do. The Master will provide everything for them. He simply wants them to come and enjoy what he has. And so Christ speaks of a Master who prepared a great banquet. This Master is God, who sent his Son into the world to take on human flesh. Among the cows, donkeys, and sheep of Bethlehem, he became the Lamb of God, ready to take away the sins of the world. God prepared him for this by leading him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. There, he overcame with patience and perseverance. He overcame sin and death. There in that desert, he trusted in his Father perfectly, and so he became a sufficient sacrifice. And finally, roasted over the fires on the altar of the cross, he has taken away each and every sin. Death is crushed, Satan defeated. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are now one. This is the feast that God offers. His gracious promise of life and salvation. Christ is the meat. Christ is the drink. Christ, who is now filled with forgiveness, life, and salvation, ready to give. It's the banquet of heaven, the supper of God. No one asked him to prepare this. For as Adam and Eve are standing in the garden trembling, God comes and makes a gracious offer, a promise. The seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. He ate the cost. He did it by grace. He footed the bill. And so Christ speaks of a man who prepared a great banquet by grace. He tells of a man who makes a gracious offer. Everything is now ready. Come to the feast. No obligatory gift to bring. No strings attached. No cost. He only wants his guests to enjoy the fruit of his labor. He offers the best of meats and the finest of wines. Remember, Christ is the meat and Christ is the drink. Faith lives upon none other. He wants to share his forgiveness, his life, his love, gathered around one table with the family of God. There he shares his love, his grace. No one will go without. No one will be sent away empty-handed. He gives without measure. He fills plates and overflows cups. When all is eaten, he gives even more, for the mercies of God are new every morning. There's more life, more salvation. It's not gluttony, for we never are stuffed. For the more you eat, the more you desire. God cannot help but to give more of his love. And so Christ speaks of a man who makes a gracious offer. But Christ also speaks of guests who make excuses. One wants to look at a field, another wants to play with cows, and still another makes the same excuse that Adam did. He blames his wife. There's always something else to do. Life is busy, schedules are tight. Fallen man takes these great blessings of God and turns them into idols. In fact, the greater the blessing, the easier it is to make it an idol. The flesh thinks that there is always enough time. Next week will suffice. The following week will be good enough. Tomorrow will be the day. But those days never come. Those who make excuses never find the time. Others blame a bad experience that they had. Someone was pushy or offensive. But all these don't matter. Let's call them what they are, excuses, signs of unbelief. They don't want the grace that the Master gives. They don't want the forgiveness and love of God. So to refuse this gracious invitation is to choose to side with the devil, the world, and the fallen flesh. So Christ speaks of a master who is angry. God is patient, but his patience will not last forever. He won't force people to come in, but those who refuse will suffer his anger. They will never get a taste of my wedding banquet, or my banquet, he says. They think they are healthy. They think they have everything they need. They see multiple lands that they own, great possessions. They see a beautiful family. But whoever does not forsake father and mother for the sake of Christ is not worthy of Christ. They don't see the urgency of God's invitation. So the gospel is like a rain shower, constantly on the move, never staying in one place too long. For it's easy for fallen man to take it for granted, to get comfortable with the promises of God. Oh, they still may physically come, but their hearts remain far away. God urges them to come. But if they do not listen, then he simply moves on to someone else. The time is short. He will not change his supper. He will not cater to their desires or their wants. He invites. He promises. He desires that they believe his word. Faith receives it. Unbelief makes excuses. And so Christ speaks of a man who acts quickly. The time is short. Night is quickly approaching when no one can work. The gates will be shut and the doors locked, for the end of the age is quickly advancing. God spares no time. Men think they have plenty of time in this life to raise family, further businesses, cushion their retirement. But God is acting quickly. He knows that the time is short. He sends out his servant to invite the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. They do not own fields. They do not possess cattle, much less 5 yoke of oxen. They have no place to lay their head at night. They have no family. They do not contribute to society in any way. Rather, they are a drain on society's resources, and yet they are the ones invited. They can't offer to bring a gift or to help pay the expense, even if they wanted to. For they recognize their place. They have nothing to give, everything to receive. Like Lazarus from last week's account, they are poor in spirit. Everything depends on the Master's generosity. They confess their sins, that their sins have robbed them of the riches of heaven. They confess that they've made wrong decisions, sinful decisions, and it's cost them and others greatly. And it has barred them from the feast of God. And yet still God invites them. Still he gives them a seat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. They are declared sons of the kingdom, children of God. They feast on Christ. They eat forgiveness, life, and salvation. They are filled with immortality. The promises of God fill their bodies and their souls. Faith delights in this grace of God, the riches of God, the love of God. They delight that they continue to receive these blessings from God day after day, for his mercies are new every morning. And yet there is still room in the house. And so Christ speaks of a man who sends his servant out yet again. He wants to give forgiveness, life, and salvation to more people. God truly wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. He truly wants all to delight in Christ, all to feast in the kingdom of heaven, all to believe his promise and to enjoy the beauty of his eternal kingdom. And this is where Jesus' parable ends, with the servant going out, calling others. It's unfinished, because for centuries the servants of God have been traveling those roads and country lanes, preaching the good news to all creation. By grace, it has reached the shores of America. And by grace, it has touched your ears. Today is an invitation from God to you, as is every other day, an invitation to receive the grace of God in faith. It's easy to point to those people out there who don't come, and yes, they need to hear Christ's warning. But we would do well to take his warning to heart also. Our physical presence here means nothing. Our physical presence here means nothing if our heart remains tied to possessions, to land, or to family. We must become poor in spirit and consider all that we have, including family, as nothing when compared to the riches of God's kingdom. Today is an opportunity. For today, God invites you. Don't assume that he will invite you to tomorrow or next week. He may not. The rain shower may move on. So live by his grace today. Hear his word and delight in his forgiveness today. Feast on his word today. Recognize your great need, even if God has blessed you with multiple homes, lands, possessions, and a great family. Recognize your great need and trust solely in the generosity of your master. Come to the feast. Take and eat. Know that God is good to you. Take and drink. Let his blood gladden your heart. He's filled your plate with forgiveness. The cup is brimming with life, for the lamb has been sacrificed and everything is now ready for your enjoyment. So lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God, who invites us yet again to his holy supper, for it is good and right so to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.